business success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. Join RVK for the award-winning RV on Business Show every Tuesday at 12 midday. It's not about thinking out of the box. There is no box. Only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome to 101.9 Chai FM. It is exactly 10 minutes past 12. Thank you so much for joining us. And today I'm really, really excited because we're talking about a topic that's very close to my heart. And I think it's a topic that is relevant to every single person in the country. Youth is the future of everything. Youth is the future of the economy. Youth is the future of the heartbeat of a country. And youth that is underdeveloped, youth that is despondent, and youth that does not have the tools to build self-confidence and to express their absolute potential will eventually lead to a country that doesn't maximize its potential. In South Africa, we have no shortage of heroes and especially heroines when it comes to developing youth, when it comes to putting the heart and soul into developing our youth, where they've been let down by government at times because of the lack or the poor education that they might receive, or just pure circumstance where life hasn't sort of lined up for them to maximize their potential. But then come along organizations like ALX South Africa and the NYD and the National Youth Development Association, driven by dynamic invested people, and all of a sudden you've got opportunity that presents itself. So without any further ado, Divesh Zucker, the MD at ALX South Africa, welcome to Chai FM.
Hey, Avi. Lovely to chat to you, and thank you so much for giving me the time.
Great pleasure. Did my introduction really sum up where the challenge of the country lies?
Yeah, it does, you know, and if you look at the statistics, right, I mean, South Africa's got the highest youth unemployment, that 18 to 34 in the world, we're at 66%. And every year just gets worse. So, you know, things that we need to do to kind of tackle this needs to happen immediately.
Right. Divesh, you know, clearly we're not talking about going back to grassroots. Maybe that's something that you are involved in. But let's talk about how the now, the right now and the right moment is happening. What are you guys getting involved with? How are you making sure that youth have the right tools in order to put them in the right positions to go forward?
So, and thank you for the question. ALX is doing a couple of things. You know, as a company, we work across the continent, and you know,
if you want to move around a little bit, just connection's quite poor.
Oh no! How's this, Avi? Can you hear me? Is it better?
Yeah, a little bit better, still a little bit sketchy, but let's keep going.
All right. No, sorry about that. I was saying that, you know, ALX works across the continent, right? We focus in eight what we call hub markets, one of which is South Africa, which I look after. And our North Star is to enable 2 million young Africans to get dignified employment by 2030 and 3 million by 2035. And this is, you know, in partnership with the MasterCard Foundation, right? And that means that, you know, we need to sort of scale this thing quickly. And the key word here is dignified employment, right? And what ALX then offers is what we feel is the shortest direct path for a young person from where they are to employment, right? And we've chosen, you know, a couple of tracks, right? We offer training. You know, ALX really is an ecosystem of benefits, and one of those benefits is training in the technical space. And those courses are demand-led, right? So demand-led means that we look at where the jobs are globally, and we tailor our courses for that, right? So software engineering, data science, data analytics, cloud computing through AWS, CRM systems through Salesforce, and so on and so forth, right? So that's the first bit, one on sort of technical training. And the second bit is entrepreneurship, because, you know, we kind of feel that, you know, for a young person in any sort of market, entrepreneurship as a skill, whether you want to start your own business or whether you just want some entrepreneurial thinking, right, is key. For each one of our entrepreneurs, we find that they create between 5 to 7 jobs. So it scales really nicely, right? And that's really where we've kind of focused on. We add additional things on like community, because we reduce the barriers to entry. And what that means, Avi, is that we offer our courses fully sponsored through the MasterCard Foundation. You don't need any degrees or any sort of qualifications. Our selection, as long as you get through that, you're in our courses. And then you really have to do hard things, right? Because the stuff is hard. If you're coming up with just a matric, it's fine. As long as you pass our selection test, you get in. But then you really have to work to get through the lifetime of our programs. So that's what we're kind of doing. And we've iterated over the last, 2 years, just to a model that we think is scalable, that we can really start attacking these numbers, the 2 million by 2030 and the 3 million by 2035. So that's kind of right now how we're moving in that space.
Divyesh, I'm so happy that you've sort of, the last few sentences sort of came through in full strength. So it was really nice to hear you clearly. Divyesh, another thing that you maybe mentioned, without realizing, is that you used the term our North Star. The term navigating by the North Star simply means that no matter what comes our way, no matter what environment, no matter what climatic conditions, no matter what political conditions, we are focused on the North Star. Even if clouds cover it over, we know which direction to go in, and the clouds all clear, and we will then recorrect our course. And I think that's really what you're trying to get across, is that there's an absolute commitment to this. And if it means that things have to be tweaked along the way, that's what you're going to do. Divyesh, another thing that I've noticed just looking at the courses you offer on your website is that you've really moved away from, I suppose, what one would consider the stereotypical courses for underdeveloped countries. Things like courses in agriculture, courses in hygiene, courses in medical sanitization and things like that. And you're really trying to get people to become part of this global village by getting them the tools that they can then go on to do whatever their passion is.
No, exactly that. And I think, like, you know, your points about the North Star, I'm going to touch on it in my answer, right? Because what that North Star means is that we have been in the past, and we still are willing to fail and willing to iterate. That entrepreneurial mindset, right, to have that shortest direct route, no matter what comes, from where you are as a young person in South Africa or a country in the continent, to accessing that global economy, right? And, 100% aligned with your thinking on the movement away from very sort of non-traditional things that you usually look at in markets such as ours, right? Just because that you do have, everything needs to be driven towards demand, right? Where are the jobs? Where are those economies growing? And where are they going to continue to be growing in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years? And that's really how we've kind of focused what we offer. And we'll add on to those, next year we'll look at adding on cybersecurity. We'll look at adding on some creative arts, because graphic design, video editing, UI, UX, that sort of stuff is our fields that are all growing and fit really well into the sort of tech stack model that we offer. So, I mean, we really have to break the mold around the thinking of the type of stuff that we do and what's going to allow us the quickest, easiest access to a global economy.
And that's exactly what it is. It's really about creating those niche areas where one can really get it going forward. Divyesh, one of the challenges that you guys have in South Africa together with your partners is that in most developed countries, there's a lot of help from government. Youth can leave school, go into the military. Youth can leave school and go into different areas where they can get sort of life skills. One of the challenges with the underdeveloped countries is that leaving school really is going into the big wide world with very little opportunity. So do we have a program where someone who has maybe not finished school can approach you and say, how do I complete schooling and then go into the next phase?
Yeah, we do. And that's a really good point, right? Because when we sort of went to market with ALX,
being a bit upset, can we let's run quickly, and when we come back, we'll continue with that point.
Perfect. Perfect.
This is RV on Business.
Divesh, welcome back. I hope it's a better connection.
It is. Can you hear me? How does it sound?
It sounds like you've sort of emerged from the depths of the ocean. Great. Welcome back. Divesh, the reason I asked you that question is that, you know, I was talking to my oldest son one day who was doing a bridging course in the military. And he said that, you know, he was walking around base and he noticed older people who already had rank, older people who already had berets belonging to different units that they were part of, and they were there on what seemed to be an educational base. And when he asked, he said that one of the priorities of the military was to make sure that when everybody leaves their national service, they have the basics of the equivalent of a matric so that they can go out into the world and become a viable part of society. And that's part of their service is finishing off the schooling. And I just thought that is why a country like Israel is just really booming on the economic front, because everybody has equal opportunity from that point of view, which is really not the case in so many developing countries where if you're caught in the poverty trap, you often just stay there and we all know what happens over there. How have you guys managed to sort of bridge that divide?
Couple of ways. And first, you know, I'll talk about our sort of, you know, maybe the program that bridges this gap second. But, you know, the first point of contact was when we went out to market, right? We took ALX out to market and, you know, we thought the value proposition was quite strong, right? I mean, you know, you've got a partnership with MasterCard, you've got fully sponsored programs. And you've got highly sort of relevant programs that we've reduced the barriers to entry to, right? Including, you know, any sort of previous qualification or experiences, right? And what we found was that there was a significant education component that we had to overcome, right? And that component of explaining to people that, you know, what the space was, what did it mean to be a data scientist or a data analyst or what was data? Right. Down to those sort of nitty gritties to a point where, you know, you had to try and explain, well, what sort of careers would you get? You know, what were your prospects of employment? But then, you know, also, you know, convincing people that this was something that they could do or they could aspire to. Right. Because the current sort of model that we look at is relatively traditional. I mean, you know, you come out, you maybe want to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a teacher, or something like that, right? Unless you're in the know, and we found, you know, there was a demographic that knew, right? I mean, people who were online quite digitally savvy, you know, they knew what they wanted, and they knew the value, and they went straight to it, right? But the vast majority of the market needed that education component, right? So we found ourselves spending a lot of time just kind of doing that, right? Then, you know, for those people maybe who didn't have that background, right, but were still interested in getting into it, we sort of iterated a new product at the beginning of this year called an AI Career Essentials program, right? And that Career Essentials program with a little bit of a generative AI spin, right? And what that did was it just, you know, it was a leadership foundations course, you know, leading yourself, how to think, how to research, entrepreneurial thinking, you know, how you should think about approaching problems. There was a large personality component, and then there was an AI component to say, cool, here's your sort of intro using and leveraging AI in your day-to-day basis, and do this maybe for a couple of months. And then if you feel comfortable, maybe move a little bit forward into a deeper tech stack program. You know, so it really is a journey. We haven't figured it out completely. Because some of the stuff is hard. Like, we found our software engineering program, I mean, you needed to get 80% in that first month. Otherwise, you were sort of rolled out of the program, right? You still have to do very hard things. So we took that and we broke it into a front end and into a back end program. So it was a little bit easier. But, you know, we're iterating, but we're still not getting it completely right.
But like any living organism, it's simply a process of trial and error in order to get up and running and get forward. Just on a similar vein, I've just got a message through from Susan, who says that she's gone onto your website and had a look, see that a lot of the courses are, say, now closed. There are three that are open. She says, I'm not an underprivileged person at all, but I would be interested in doing the course. Do I qualify, even if I'm willing to pay?
Yes. Look, you do. We do kind of focus on the youth demographic, so that 18 to 34. We are still open for intakes for a couple of our courses, our AI Career Essentials course, and then we actually launched a virtual assistant course, you know, about 2 or 3 months ago. That's doing really well, which is also another one of those bridging courses for us. And then you should have a register for interest button for the remainder of our programs which are the tech-like programs, which are the front end, the back end, the data analysis, the data science programs. Those we will open up again at the beginning of next year, but we will take enrollment. We will take enrollment if people are interested. And those will kick off again for next year. We actually have an intake moving now. So before you move into our tech programs, Avi, we force people to do a 3-month course called Foundations, which is, you know, foundational leadership, entrepreneurship, critical thinking. It's actually very cool. And then once you do that, then you only move into your tech stack or your tech vertical. So we've actually moved a batch now into their tech verticals. So the next intake will kick off in the beginning of next year.
Divesh, just looking at the website now that Susan mentioned and looking at what you offer, clearly this is not a South African-based program only. How far is your reach across the continent?
So it's Pan-African, but we focus our efforts on 8 markets where you've effectively got 7 other of me sitting. So you've got Nigeria, Kenya, Ghana, Morocco, Ethiopia, Rwanda, South Africa, and I am missing one, which I always miss, which will come to me. But we're in 8 markets across the continent, and Sorry, Avi, I missed that.
As I said, that last one will come to you just now.
Kenya, of course, Kenya. My counterpart there will be very upset if I miss that. Yeah. And look, these markets do 90% of our enrollment, right? Just because you've got teams on the ground kind of, you know, driving everything. And I actually messaged our head of selection last week. She released the statistics for all of the markets. As of the 25th of July this year, we've enrolled 501,000 young people across the continent into these programs. So it really is kind of becoming a movement. We're iterating, we're improving, and then next year really, I think, is going to be about scaling, because 2030 is around the corner.
Absolutely. So on that note, of the countries that you mentioned, Morocco, Ethiopia, English is not the first language. How do you deal with the language barrier across the different countries?
Oh, you know, that's such a good question, right? We were talking about it last week with the other leads. South Africa struggles with English almost as much as Egypt does. So, in our, you know, to kind of get into our courses, right, you've got to do a selection test. And the selection test really isn't to exclude people, right? We really have to balance that, you know, the sort of basic level of the person coming into. So we test for English, right, which is the biggest component. We test, there's a personality aspect, which is a very big component. And then there's the critical and logical thinking, right, which is less sort of weighted, right? South Africa struggles with English. Morocco struggles with English. Egypt struggles with English. And Ethiopia struggles with English. We find that people don't make it past our selection test. But what we're going to be looking at for next year actually is an English bridging course before you actually get into our program. So, you know, you'll go into our selection. We'll pick you up. We'll pick up that actually, you know what, where ordinarily you might have failed in 2024 and not gotten in based on your English. But we'll move you into a bridging course if you'd like before you move into the actual TEC courses. So something we're looking at for next year.
Devesh, of the people that enroll, we all know across the world in education institutions, you know, it's you ask people in final year, how many of the people from first year are still with you? And it varies from course to course. What do your figures look like? Of the people that enroll, how many come out the other end?
We right now are looking at about a 40% graduation rate. And this is an interesting question, right? Because when we were looking at this and we were trying to figure out how to make the biggest impact, right? And it's a similar conversation that was had with MasterCard, right? It's always a volume versus quality. And what we've been finding is that we ramp up the volume right at the top. You'll graduate a much higher number, even though that graduation rate might not be as high, let's say, as a 90% of, you know, you've got a first year versus a third year university. But what we do is we try and ramp up the graduation as much as we can, but then that engagement post-graduation for us is important, right? So the graduation is important, yes, but the North Star is employment. So we need to make sure that those who graduate actually are ending up in dignified employment. And that rate over about 6 months is sitting at around 85%, which we're trying to improve, but it's pretty decent now. I think it's higher than most other sort of similar institutions around the world. But it needs to improve. And what we do in that sort of community space is we need to keep our young people engaged with us, right? Because they need to tell us that they're employed. They need to tell us that they're employed, right? So we've got quite an engaged community base. And that community post-graduation also is where a lot of that sort of, you know, polishing happens, you know, where, you know, right now we're looking at picking up in the next month or so, you know, an export your skills set of masterclasses, right? Where you really get experts in like, you know, freelance gig work coming in to say, hey, this is how you sort of navigate these job boards in the States or Europe or the UK. This is how you set up your businesses. This is how you deal with your contracting. This is how you need to do your taxes. Because the reality is if that we're training at this sort of volume, right? Our markets most likely in the short term won't be able to absorb it. So you really need to leverage, you either, you know, set up, bring companies here, which is what ALX also does. And we set up delivery centers, or you really teach the young people how to sit where they're sitting and access this economy remotely. And that's the interviewing, the polishing, what type of jobs you can go for based on the types of skills and qualifications you have, and how to set yourself up to actually start moving and earning in this space.
Devesh, if you had to look into your crystal ball, I'm looking at the three courses here. Virtual assistant. 5 years ago, no one would even have a remote idea as to what that would mean. Professional foundations, I'm not quite sure what that is, but AI career essentials, 3 years ago, people just didn't understand the term. Who is AI? Where does he come from? Where does he live? What's he all about? If you had to look into your crystal ball 5 years down the line, where do you see the most important type of courses coming from? What type of courses do you think he'll be offering?
I think in a We'll be looking at a very similar sort of vein as we are right now, right? But maybe deepening the sort of domains, right? So software engineering, I think, is here to stay. Because again, I think we need to sort of understand that these courses, it's not going to be, you know, you're going to get this thing and it's a degree and, you know, you're done, right? It's a means to an end. You know, you'll do it and then you need to get somewhere. You need to do something with it. And depending on where you are, you may need to further upskill yourself, right? But, you know, that sort of software piece, the data piece is going to be incredibly important because, you know, if you think about it now, these courses are industry agnostic, right? Like, you know, you could be a farm and you could use the services of a data analyst to kind of look at your yields, to look at your rainfall and model something for you, you know. You could be in fisheries, you could be in a big tech company. And, there's some fields that are going to be industry agnostic, right? So the software engineering, the data science, the data analytics, cybersecurity will pick up next year is just going to get even more important. Creative arts, I think, are going to be very, very, very important. With the AI tools that we've got, and are just going to be improving, they really are your personal sort of companions, right? Like, I mean, I use mine on my, you know, every sort of hour less to kind of just make myself more efficient, to make me a little bit better at what I'm doing. I've got creatives doing the same thing with tools like Midjourney and DALL-E and that sort of thing, right? So the creative arts are going to become a lot more important. We're probably going to have to do something around ethics, something more on the softer side of that, around ethics, around AI, around how the stuff is used going forward. And yeah, maybe double down a little bit and double click on the ethics, right? Because you do want to create ethical entrepreneurial leaders. You know, someone able to kind of look at this entire problem and make a very moral decision using the technology or working with technology or developing a business. I would say I'll be more in the same line, right? But one thing I think I know is that we'll always be directed by the demand, right? Because keeping in mind the North Star around work, where the market shifts, that's where we'll be able to sort of offer these courses.
Devesh, just before I let you go, there's a very, very famous educational organization called ORT, O-R-T, that was started in Russia in the last century. And it was really there to essentially take poverty-stricken rural people and give them skills in agriculture. And once they were in agriculture, so it diversified into so many different things. And when we built our home in South Africa years ago, we had an amazing architect who we're still friendly with to this day. And I just said to him, like, where did you qualify? And he said, I qualified through ORT. I said, what? He said, I'm not an architect. I'm a draftsman, and I did my course through ORT. And I was blown away at how this organization has just given so many people from diverse backgrounds all over the world skills. Where do you see ALX going in the future? Are you going to spread your wings across the globe? What are your plans?
I think yes. Look, there's a lot of work that still needs to be done on the continent. So, you know, I think in the sort of short term, double down in the markets that we're in. I mean, effectively set up more tech hubs, right? Which are really supposed to be sort of entrepreneurial tech ecosystems that hire above tech activity and entrepreneurship. And then expand those in our markets and then make sure that we have reach on the rest of the continent. Interestingly enough, we did an experiment, end of last year, where there was a decent amount of interest and sign up in Latin America, in East Asia. The Middle East actually is a very good base. Because remember, you know, if we're looking at where the work is, right? Business hubs are important because these hubs also function as spaces where businesses from the States or Europe or other countries come in. They taste, you know, what talent on the continent looks like, right? They meet them, they engage with them, they see the infrastructure, and then they, you know, some of them outsource the work to the talent that we have, right? So definitely I see expansion plans in the future, but we got to get it right properly, I think, on the continent first.
Devesh, thank you so much for your time. Whoever's listening and wants to go along to the website, it's alxafrica.com. Beautiful website, simple and easy to use. Everything's there on the top. And I suppose once you log into your portal, that is your educational guide also with everything that you need. Divesh, everything of the best to you. Thank you not only for running this organization, but for being the custodian to the prosperity of so many young people going forward. And I just hope that your latter years are filled with past students coming back to you and just showing you how by you and Alex giving them the opportunity, they've been able to build careers for themselves and become prosperous and viable members of society.
Perfect. Thank you so much for the well wishes, and the same to you. Have an amazing week and an amazing rest of the year.
Great. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Divesh Sukho, who is the director at ALX Africa. Please go along and have a look at the website. Really, really interested. If you know a youngster between the age of 18 and 35 who is looking for a foot up in life, this is the place to go to. Also go look at the NYDA website. They're in partnership with ALX in many areas. And that's the places that youth who are really looking for opportunities can get it. Craig, thank you for pushing the buttons. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will speak to you next week.